Welcome to According to Sam, folks. This is episode 188. Thank you so much for watching and tuning in. I have a great show for you today. We're still talking about the conflict in Eastern Europe, talking about Ukraine and Russia. And we're going to take a little bit of a detour. We're going to get back into the part that we were talking about last week, or on Monday, I'm sorry. And we were talking about how this war started, essentially talking about Euromaidan, how the violence in Euromaidan happened. I'm explaining the coup to you, and that's where we were on Monday. We're going to get back into that, but today I want to take a little bit of a detour and talk about the Red Scare in general. And the Red Scare was a term that was used in the 1960s, early 70s, to refer to the Cold War, the tensions of the Cold War between the United States and Russia. And the United States and the Soviet Union. You have to be specific. It's not the Red Scare is not about Russia. The Red Scare was about the United States and the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union no longer exists. I think that's very important. I want to start today talking about one of my favorite books. And if you are a longtime listener of my podcast, you know that one of my favorite fiction novels is 1984, written by Eric Blair. Eric Blair wrote under the pen name George Orwell, and he wrote this. I don't know when he wrote it, but it was published in 1948, the year before he died. And if you haven't read this book is about a dystopian society, an island. And, you know, the island is England. Orwell is clear, because one of the sayings of the one party is insunk, is, you know, that's the model of the party, English socialism. If you know about Eric Blair, you know that he had embraced socialism and communism for a period of time, and then became very critical of it. And this character in the book 1984 is a very interesting character, because Emmanuel Goldstein, we don't even know if he's real or not. As a matter of fact, there's a point in the book when Winston Smith, who is the main character, is being tortured by this character, O'Brien. And Winston is asking O'Brien, you know, does the Brotherhood exist? Does Emmanuel Goldstein exist? And O'Brien tells him, you'll never know that. You know, you'll never, ever know if the Brotherhood and Emmanuel Goldstein actually exist. And it's, when you read the book, it's likely that Emmanuel Goldstein does not exist, that he was created by the party, because there's only one party, and he was created by the party as a boogeyman that the people could, they could focus all of their hate towards the boogeyman, and the party, the totalitarian government there in Oceania, would use this hatred that they had for Emmanuel Goldstein. They would use that to control them and to focus their hatred on this fictional character. There was actually a point in the book where they would have the 2-minute hate on a daily basis. It says, in the course of daily life in Oceania, Goldstein is always the subject of the 2-minute hate, the daily program of propaganda that begins at 11 hours, and the telescreen that you would have in everybody's living quarters, there was a telescreen, and they would put an image of Emmanuel Goldstein, and everybody would sis and boo, and you had to show emotion and hate towards Emmanuel Goldstein. People, Vladimir Putin is Emmanuel Goldstein. Now, he's not, Vladimir Putin's not a fictional character, but the powers at be, they have set Vladimir Putin up to be Emmanuel Goldstein so they can demonize him and focus all of their, Vladimir Putin is the cause of all of your troubles. Not Joe Biden, not the Democrats and their spending, not even, you know, Republicans that have been going along with all of this war spending and keeping the war. I mean, again, it's not partisan, and forgive me for being partisan, but the focus of your anger, the focus of your problems is Vladimir Putin. If we could just make Vladimir Putin go away, all of your problems would be over. And it's really frustrating for me to see people falling for Russiagate 2.0. Russiagate, again, they are bringing Russiagate back in an election year, and I can't believe how gullible people are. You already fell for this once. We had a 2-year-long special counsel investigation. The Mueller investigation lasted for 2 years, looking specifically at a connection between Donald Trump and Russia. 2 years, they look. You remember Adam Schiff? I have Adam Schiff here. Listen to what Adam Schiff was telling you that whole time.
Hacking and dumping operation, what evidence we have seen in terms of the Russian social media campaign, their paid media campaign, and yes, the issue of collusion with the Trump campaign. There is significant evidence, much of it in the public domain, on the issue of collusion.
I want to get to the point of, look, collusion is sort of what hasn't been proven here between whatever the Russians did and the Trump campaign. In fact, the former acting director of the CIA, who was a Mike Morrell, who was a supporter of Hillary Clinton, he essentially reminded people, took Director Clapper at his word on this show, who said there has been no evidence that has been found of collusion. Are we at the point of, at what point do you start to wonder if there is a fire to all this smoke?
Well, first of all, I was surprised to see Director Clapper say that, because I don't think you can make that claim categorically as he did. I would characterize it this way at the outset of the investigation. There is circumstantial evidence of collusion.
All you have right now is a circumstantial case.
Actually, no, Chuck. I can tell you that the case is more than that, and I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence now. So, again, I think...
So you have seen direct evidence of collusion?
I don't want to go into specifics, but I will say that there is evidence that is not circumstantial, and is very much worthy of investigation. So,
can you agree that there has been no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy that has been presented thus far between the Trump campaign and Russia?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I think there's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy in plain sight.
So I think at this point in time, it's really difficult for me and many Americans to differentiate between what is overhype and what isn't. You've said on more than one occasion that you've seen ample evidence of the Trump campaign's Russia collusion. Last March, you said you had more than circumstantial evidence of treasonous collusion with Russia. What specifically were you referring to? And please be specific, because if it's true, I do believe Americans have the right to know a year later what that is.
Well, I've certainly said that there's ample evidence.
So there was no ample evidence. I'm sorry that that clip was so long, but I wanted to play it through because I wanted you to see not just what Adam Schiff, this guy's running for Senate now, here in California. And God, I hope that this guy doesn't win. But he lied to us. It wasn't just him. Over and over again that there was evidence of collusion between Donald Trump and Russia. We had a 2-year-long special counsel investigation that was looking specifically at that. Was there any connection to Donald Trump and Russia? And they found none. There was no connection. There was no money or any type of leverage that Robert Mueller was able to find that Russia had over Donald Trump in a 2-year long special counsel investigation. And now, this is a really this funny story that happened this last week. The FBI, the same FBI that oversaw the Russiagate 1, because now we're doing Russiagate 2.0, the same FBI, the same agency that ran Russiagate 1, spying on the president, the illegal FISAs based on fake intelligence that came from a British intelligence officer collaborating with Russians himself, all that stuff that we thought that we had gotten past with Russiagate 1, they're recycling it all with Russiagate 2, and people are falling for it again. I am blown away. So anyway, that agency, the FBI, they had a paid informant that they've been paying and using as a source for over a decade. And they just found out this week that this guy was a Russian informant as well. What a coinkydink.
All right. This morning, we're also learning more about the arrest of that FBI informant tied to the Hunter Biden case. Prosecutors now revealing that informant was in contact with Russian intelligence officials. NBC's Capitol Hill correspondent Ryan Nobles joins us with more. Ryan, good morning. What's the latest?
Yes, Savannah, good morning. Alexander Smirnov appeared yesterday in a Las Vegas federal court to face charges over allegedly lying to the FBI, particularly about claiming that Joe Biden accepted bribes to benefit Hunter's businesses. Now, it's a claim that's central to the impeachment probe and one often repeated by Republicans. But the bombshell came when David Weiss, that same special counsel who has charged Hunter Biden, alleged that Smirnov lied and that he admitted to working with Russian intelligence officials involved in passing on a story about Hunter Biden. Now, prosecutors allege the contacts were, quote, extensive and extremely recent, and that he's, quote, actively peddling new lies that could impact the U.S. elections.
So now the Russians are meddling in the elections again, just like they did in 2016, through this guy who has been an informant for the FBI, again, for over a decade, but all of a sudden he's been in contact with the Russians. So the Russians are meddling in this election through this one informant that's been an informant for over a decade with the FBI. And so that's meddling again. So the Russians are meddling again. This is Russiagate 2.0. And this, yes, Donald Trump, is his administration appointed this attorney general or special counsel Weiss. But that doesn't mean that you should trust him. I mean, Donald Trump made a lot of really bad appointments. And I think that it was, Bill Barr who had more to do with appointing this guy Weiss than Donald Trump. So I would take anything having to do with Weiss with a grain of salt. But you're going to tell me that, if the FBI has been paying this guy for over a year as a paid informant, and they're just finding out that he is also communicating with Russia and working with Russia, you got problems at the FBI. You got serious problems, but they're using it to launch Russiagate 2.0. And I'm blown away that people are falling for it. Never mind that. Despite this informant, despite anything else that people had legitimate questions about Joe Biden and his activities in Ukraine and his son, as soon as Joe Biden coming in right after the coup, taking control of the post-coup government and working with the post-coup government. That was all Joe Biden's job. Joe Biden got Ukraine after the coup, like he said at the Council on Foreign Relations meeting, that Ukraine became my job. And as he goes in post-coup with the new Nazi government to help them rebuild after the coup. His son comes in and is getting a job with a corrupt energy company. And just because this paid informant that's been working for the FBI for 10 years all of a sudden says that, oh yeah, I've been talking to the Russians too, that doesn't make any of those questions about what Joe Biden was doing in Ukraine just go away. This was ABC News.
Hunter and questions about money he made from foreign business dealings while his father was vice president. Our chief national affairs correspondent, Tom Yam, has traveled to Ukraine to try to get some answers. And Tom, what did you find?
Dave, good morning to you. This is actually an issue Joe Biden has been dealing with since 2014. But it's come up again because he's now running for president. Republicans, including President Trump, are trying to hammer Biden over this. At issue, was Hunter Biden profiting off his dad's work as vice president? And did Joe Biden allow it? We're talking about millions of dollars in at least two countries.
Mr. Vice President, Tom Yamas with ABC News. How you doing? Got a quick question for you.
It's a question we tried to ask repeatedly.
Can we ask you about Ukraine and China?
But kept getting blocked. Questions about foreign deals his son Hunter Biden pursued.
My father, Joe Biden.
In countries where Joe Biden was working as America's top diplomat. In 2014, Ukrainians, sick of corruption, revolted. Vice President Joe Biden went to Kiev to help the new government.
You have to fight the cancer of corruption.
But then something strange happened. Just 3 weeks later, a Ukrainian natural gas company, Burisma, accused of corruption, appoints Hunter Biden, seen here in their promotional videos, to their board of directors, paying his firm more than $1 million a year.
Okay, so did Russia make ABC News, Disney, ABC Disney run this report? I'm asking you, is this Russian propaganda that ABC News, ABC Disney aired? Asking questions about Joe Biden and his son coming in after the coup and getting in on the loot. Did the Russians make ABC News do this report? This is another one. I showed you a little bit of Adam Schiff. This guy, this little weasel, Jamie Raskin. He's just like Adam Schiff was over and over again telling us that we had in Russiagate 1 that we had evidence of collusion. We have tons of evidence of collusion. The evidence is there for 2 years over the Mueller investigation. Trump is going down. Trump is guilty. Trump is with the Russians. This little weasel told it too. But listen to what this guy says about the FBI informant that we just found out is connected to the Russians. Listen to this guy.
Yeah. So he also described his source as being highly credible and someone that has been paid six figures for the information that they've been able to provide the Bureau through the years. Would you say that that was accurate in your impression as well?
Yeah, there's a confidential human source that the FBI works with who has proven to be very credible, who reported a conversation with someone else.
Proven to be very credible is what Jamie Raskin says. All of a sudden, this FBI informant that has proven to be very credible is a Russian. Because we're running Russiagate 2.0, the Red Scare. Russiagate 2.0, the Red Scare is back again. That's the sequel to Russiagate. Now, again, the Red Scare 1, or the first Red Scare, back in the 1960s, early 70s, that Red Scare was pertaining to the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union is no longer around. It's hilarious listening to all these people on TV. Oh my God, the party of Reagan. I can't believe that the party of Reagan is so... they're ready to appease Putin, that the party of Reagan is the Russian sympathizers. Oh, Reagan helped end the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union, the communist Soviet Union, no longer exists. The Russia that is the Russia today is not the Soviet Union. They do not have the same philosophies as the Soviet Union. They do not. The Soviet Union and communism was very atheistic. The new Russia has embraced the Eastern Orthodox Church. They've embraced it very much so. It's very different from communist, atheist, communist Soviet Union. This is a totally different Russia. And these demons, these witches, they want you to, because they know that you're ignorant. They know the people are ignorant. And they can conflate Russia with the Soviet Union, and you don't know the difference. The party of Reagan, I can't believe that the party of Reagan are Putin sympathizers. Hear that one more time. Barack Hussein Obama and his administration in 2009 reset the American relationship with Russia. The Barack Hussein Obama administration in 2009 said publicly that we realize that this Russia is no longer the Soviet Union. We realize that this Russia is no longer communist. We want to reset our relationship with Russia, is what Hillary Clinton said in 2009. Take a listen.
Our time here together, I wanted to present you with a little gift, which represents what President Obama and Vice President Biden and I have been saying.
President Obama, Vice President Biden and I, so we all agree. Vice President Biden agreed, Obama agreed, and Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, meeting the head diplomat from Russia. So we all agree on this. We want to reset our relationship.
Obama and Vice President Biden and I have been saying, and that is, we want to reset our relationship.
And let's do it together.
So we will do it together, okay?
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
So that was in 2009. Hillary Clinton met with the Sergey Lavrov with her little plastic fake button that she had made and said that we were resetting our relationship. Cold War stuff is over. We're going to leave that in the past. We want to work together. We want to reset our relationship. This guy's administration, Barack Hussein Obama. And then this is a clip from the debate that Obama does with Mitt Romney 4 years later when he's running for re-election. And listen to what he says about Russia. This is in 2012.
That you recognize that Al-Qaeda is a threat, because a few months ago when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. Not Al-Qaeda, you said Russia. In the 1980s or now, calling to ask for their foreign policy back because, you know, the Cold War has been over for 20 years.
Cold War's been over for 20 years. Cold War's been over for 20 years, people. This is not Cold War Russia, you clowns on TV that keep trying to manipulate people into believing that this is Cold War Russia. This is not Cold War Russia. This is not the Soviet Union. Cold War's been over for 20 years. Is what
not
Obama said.
You said Russia in the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back.
The 1980s, y'all, the 1980s right now with this Russiagate 2.0, the 1980s are calling and asking for their foreign policy back, people. Now, you guys remember the meeting that Donald Trump had with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki? I guess this was in 2018 because the Mueller investigation was they're in the middle of the Mueller investigation. They were calling this guy a Russian asset. Let's take a step back. So if the Obama administration reset our relationship with Russia in 2009, and in 2012, Obama was saying that the 1980s called, they want their foreign policy back, that the Cold War is over, that Russia is no threat, essentially. So, and they're trying to trick us into thinking of Russia with Vladimir Putin as the leader. Vladimir Putin became the leader in Russia in 2000. So he was the leader when Obama was elected. He was a leader in 2009 when Hillary Clinton reset our relationship. He was the leader in 2012 when Obama said that the 1980s called and they want their foreign policy back. So what happened between 2012 and today? We'll come to today, all the way to today. Or let's just start at 2014. So between 2012 and 2014, that's a 2-year period. What happened in that 2-year period to go from Russian reset, this is not Cold War Russia anymore, to the 1980s called, they want their foreign policy back? What happened in those 2 years to make Russia such a big threat? All right, let's go instead of 2014. Let's go to 2016, because you got to add in the meddling in the 2016 election, because that is Russiagate 1, the meddling in the 2016 election. That's what it was all about. So something happened in between that time when Obama says that Russia is not a threat, this isn't Cold War Russia anymore, to now Russia is the biggest geopolitical threat. Vladimir Putin is Emmanuel Goldstein. What happened? So three things happened that I want to focus on. I already talked about one. That's that they tell us that Russia meddled in the 2016 election. The second thing is that Obama wanted to use the Sunni terrorists in Syria to topple Assad. And Russia backed Assad. And then the other excuse that they gave us is that Russia invaded Crimea, that Russia's the big boogeyman now because they invaded Crimea. So I want to talk about not each one of those. We're not going to deal with the Assad part. I've made it clear that that Obama was arming ISIS through the Free Syrian Army. There's no doubt about that. Talked about that 2 podcasts ago. Vladimir Putin gives him evidence that, hey, we know that you are supporting terrorists. Obama knew that he was supporting terrorists. Vladimir Putin took that information to the UN as well. So I'm not going to talk about that so much, but I want to talk about the other two. I want to talk about did the Russians really meddle in the 2016 election? And what evidence is there that the Russians meddled in the 2016 election? And then we're going to get into the question of, did Russia invade Crimea? I told you 2 podcasts ago that the Russians have had a naval base in Sevastopol since Catherine the Great, since the late 18th century. So how are you going to invade a place where you have a naval base? So we're going to ask the question, did Russia actually invade Crimea? And we're going to start off asking the question, did Russia actually meddle in the 2016 election? And so we're going to go to this meeting in 2018 that Trump had in Helsinki with Vladimir Putin. And this is the first time where they meet face to face to talk about the meddling in the 2016 elections. And all the media was like, is Trump going to take Vladimir Putin to task for meddling in our election? Because all of the intelligence agencies say that Russia, under the orders of Vladimir Putin, meddled in the 2016 election. All of the intelligence agencies, and that's key. Let's listen to this clip to remind ourselves how the media portrayed Trump after that meeting, and then we're going to listen to a little bit of the press conference that they did in Helsinki in detail. Take a listen to this.
It was one of the most extraordinary moments between an American president and a Russian leader. Their meeting framed by Friday's Justice Department indictment of 12 Russian agents for election meddling and the judgment of U.S. intelligence agencies, including Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, that Russia interfered. President Trump asked, who do you believe, President Putin or the U.S. intelligence community?
So you have to understand how they did this, because they set it up to where either you believe Putin or you believe the intelligence agencies. And I don't believe either of y'all. Listen, people. No, I do not believe our intelligence agencies. I don't believe our intelligence agencies that told me that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and a nuclear program. I don't believe our intelligence agencies who told us that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation and they all lied. These guys are liars. That's what they do. No, I don't believe our intelligence community, and I don't believe Russia. Remember what Chuck Schumer said about the CIA and about our intelligence agencies.
Let me ask you, I don't know if you have seen this. I don't want to blindside you with this. This is the latest statement, latest tweet, as you were just saying, the president-elect's latest yeah. unsolicited pronouncement on the intelligence community. This was his tweet just a little while ago tonight. You see the scare quotes there. The yeah. intelligence briefing yeah. on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange. We're actually told, intelligence sources tell NBC News since this tweet has been posted, that actually this intelligence briefing for the president-elect was always planned for Friday. It hasn't been delayed. Look. But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. this taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
Oh, they have six ways to Sunday of getting back at you, huh? Hey, does that sound like an agency that's chummy and friendly that you want to get involved with? Or does that sound like some agency out of Oceania? They have six ways of Sunday getting back at you. No, I do not trust our intelligence agencies. I don't trust Putin either. But that's how they frame this, is that if you don't believe our intelligence agencies, then you have to be believing Putin. And quite frankly, I don't believe either of them. I don't believe Putin, and I don't believe our intelligence agencies. And if you think about it, people, you have seen zero evidence, hardcore evidence, that Russia did what they said they did in the 2016 election. Any of it. You haven't seen a single piece of evidence. They've shown you nothing. Even in the Mueller report, when the Mueller report goes into Guccifer 2.0 and how Guccifer 2.0 did this and Fancy Bear did this and Cozy Bear did that. You have no idea if Guccifer 2.0 is a Western intelligence agency or someone working under the fake name Guccifer 2.0 for a Western intelligence agency. You don't have any idea about that. You don't have any hardcore evidence that this Fancy Bear, Cozy Bear did what they told you that they did. And so you've seen zero evidence. The only thing that you have to count on is the word of the intelligence agencies. And do you trust our intelligence agencies, is what it came down to. And if you don't trust our intelligence agencies, that means that you must be a Putin stooge or a Putin asset. That's the way they frame this.
National Intelligence Dan Coats, that Russia interfered. President Trump asked, who do you believe, President Putin or the U.S. intelligence community? His answer?
People came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be.
and the president complimenting an offer from Putin. Instead of turning over the indicted Russian agents, Russian officials would question the agents themselves, with special counsel Bob Mueller present.
I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful.
Yeah, so that for the entire time, from the beginning, I'm going to show you a clip of Megyn Kelly interviewing Putin as well, and asking him about the hacking and all of the people. You got to understand, going back to what I was telling you and showing you clips of the Republican debate in South Carolina in 2016, Trump wanted to come in and he wanted to make friends with Russia. He wanted to have a workable relationship with Russia. Just like Obama did when Obama reset the relationship back in 2009, but Putin would have been true to it. I mean, Trump would have been true to it. And if Putin would have shown Trump evidence that his CIA was arming ISIS, then Trump would not allow that to happen the way Obama would have. It would have been they set up this Russiagate one because they wanted to prevent Donald Trump and Putin from having a workable relationship. So that's the first thing that you have to understand, that that's the entire reason for Russiagate one. So from the beginning, when they said that it was Russia meddling in the 2016 election, before the special counsel investigation proved that there was no collusion between Donald Trump and Russia, before any of that, Putin denied and continuously denied that Russia had anything to do with it. And so the question comes, well, do you believe Putin? He is an ex-KGB officer. Of course he's going to lie. Do you believe Putin or do you believe our intelligence agencies? And again, I don't believe either of you. I want you to listen to when they have this press conference here. We're going to listen to Donald Trump, and then we're going to listen to Putin, and I'm going to break this down for you. Take a listen.
Mr. President, you tweeted this morning that it's U.S. foolishness, stupidity, and the Mueller probe that is responsible for the decline in U.S. relations with Russia. Do you hold Russia at all accountable for anything in particular? And if so, what would you consider them that they are responsible for?
Yes, I do. I hold both countries responsible. I think that the United States has been foolish. I think we've all been foolish. We should have had this dialogue a long time ago.
Absolutely.
A long time, frankly, before I got to office. And I think we're all to blame. I think that the United States now has stepped forward along with Russia, and we're getting together, and we have a chance to do great things.
That's what they wanted to prevent. That's why they didn't want you guys getting together. That's why the intelligence, and I'm not being critical of the entire intelligence agency either, but the CIA under John Brennan, no, I didn't trust John Brennan. I don't trust the CIA under John Brennan. The FBI under James Comey, no. I don't trust the FBI under James Comey. I don't trust any of the hierarchy in the FBI under those two leaders. And that, and you're going to see here why that becomes very significant, because, these two agencies, the FBI and the CIA, out of all of the intelligence community, and we have in the entire intelligence community, you have 17 different agencies. You don't really even know. Most people don't even know what some of these other agencies are outside of the CIA and the FBI. The FBI, they make TV shows like Homeland about the FBI. They make TV shows or about the CIA. They make TV shows about the FBI. The FBI, there's ever a major, case in the country, the FBI gets all of the notoriety. So does the CIA. And people are highly critical of these two agencies. And if you know anything about John Brennan, if you know anything about James Comey, having these two men in leadership over those two agencies makes me even more skeptical of these two agencies. So I don't know where I was going with that, but back to this clip.
Nuclear proliferation in terms of stopping. So we have to do it ultimately.
Oh, I was going back to, this is the part that I was wanted to focus on, is because Donald Trump's saying here in this press conference that we need to get together. We need to come together. You know, these are the two major nuclear powers that, you know, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to work together. And what I was saying is that the John Brennan CIA and the James Comey FBI, that is why they did Russiagate number one, Russiagate part one, is because they didn't want Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin getting together.
Step forward along with Russia, and we're getting together, and we have a chance to do some great things, whether it's nuclear proliferation in terms of stopping, because we have to do it. Ultimately, that's probably the most important thing that we can be working on. But I do feel that we have both made some mistakes. I think that the probe is a disaster for our country.
I think it's kept us. He's talking about the Mueller investigation. 2-year-long investigation gave us nothing.
It's kept us separated. There was no collusion at all.
It's kept us separated. The Mueller investigation, the whole Russiagate narrative has kept us separated.
I think that the probe is a disaster for our country. I think it's kept us apart. It's kept us separated. There was no collusion at all. Everybody knows it. People are being brought out to the fore. So far that I know, virtually none of it related to the campaign. And they're going to have to try really hard to find somebody that did relate to the campaign. That was a clean campaign. I beat Hillary Clinton easily. And frankly, we beat her. And I'm not even saying from the standpoint, we won that race. And it's a shame that there can even be a little bit of a cloud over it. People know that.
Denial.
People understand it. But the main thing, and we just...
How's it not an election denial? Hillary Clinton to this day says that the only reason she lost was because of the Russia.
There's also zero collusion, and it has had a negative impact upon the relationship of the two largest nuclear powers in the world. We have 90% of nuclear power between the two countries. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous what's going on with the probe.
For President Putin, if I could follow up as well. Why should Americans and why should President Trump believe your statement that Russia did not intervene in 2016 election?
Okay. Oh, wait, Sarah, let's go back because you got to hear the rest of it.
President Trump believe your statement that Russia did not intervene in 2016 election, given the evidence that U.S. intelligence agencies have provided.
Given the evidence that U.S. intelligence agencies has provided. So he asked Putin that why should Trump and why should the U.S. believe your insistent denials that Russia meddled in the 2016 election, given the evidence that that U.S. intelligence has provided? What evidence? What evidence have they provided, people? I'm asking you. Really, yes, they've come out with statements of fact, but what evidence have they shown you to back up this evidence? Zero. Listen to what Putin's answer is to this question.
Regarding who you should believe and whether you can believe anyone at all. You can't believe anyone.
You can't believe anyone. What did I say? They're telling you that you have to believe our intelligence agencies, these guys. They're telling you have to believe these guys, or you are a Putin sympathizer. And I'm saying that I don't believe them and I don't believe him. And that's exactly what Putin says. He says, don't believe me and definitely don't believe your intelligence agency. You can believe no one, is what Putin says.
Who you should believe and whether you can believe anyone at all. You can't believe anyone. Why do you think that President Trump trusts me? I trust him completely. He is defending the U.S. interests. I defend the Russian interests. We have overlapping interests and we're looking for common grounds. We have things in which we diverge so far, and we're looking for options to reconcile those divergences, how to make our work constructive. We must base ourselves not on immediate political interests, internal political forces of our countries, but on facts. Give me at least one fact which would tell about a certain collusion during the election campaign in the United States. It's completely absurd. We learned it from the president.
Do you guys understand what this guy's saying? He's saying, look, who's to say that Trump believes me or I believe him, or that you should believe me or should believe your intelligence agencies? You should believe no one. We should be basing what we believe on facts. He's saying, what are the facts? Show me the facts. Show me the evidence. What are the facts of Russiagate 1? What is the evidence? And there is no evidence. The only thing this reporter could say is that based on our intelligence agencies who said that you did this, there are no facts. That's what Putin's
saying. Tell about a certain collusion during the election campaign in the United States. It's completely absurd. We learned it from the president. And the fact that in the Russian society during the American electoral campaign, a certain opinion was formed about specific candidates, it's quite normal. What's so strange about it? President Trump, as a candidate, spoke about the necessity to restore U.S.-Russian relations. But that's naturally created a sympathy towards that candidate in the Russian society. And various people expressed that sympathy in various ways. Isn't it natural to sympathize with somebody who wants to build a relation with our country?
Yeah, that's what he's saying, that of course I wanted Trump to win in 2016. Of course I wanted Trump to win because Trump's campaigning on us having a workable relationship and ending this Cold War type feud. Trump wants to our nations to join each other and allow us to open up Russia to the global community. He doesn't want an adverse relationship. Of course we wanted him to win, but that doesn't mean that you had any evidence that we did anything to help him win. And there is zero evidence. They've shown you zero evidence. These liars. I don't believe them for one second. What you guys got to understand about the intelligence community, this is the full community. It's 17 agencies. You have your 5 service agencies, and this is Naval Intelligence, Army Intelligence, Marine Intelligence, Coast Guard Intelligence. These are your service intelligence agencies. And then you have your department agencies like you have State Department Intelligence, you have Treasury Department Intelligence, and then you have, you know, those 5 agencies. And then you have the 6 national agencies. And then these are NSA, Space Force, CIA, FBI. Again, out of all of these agencies, people, out of all of these agencies, the agencies with the least credibility with the American people, without a doubt, if you know history and you know the history of the CIA under Allen Dulles and the history of the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover, and you know the history of these two agencies, these are the two agencies. CIA and the FBI are the two agencies with the least credibility. The CIA and the FBI are the agencies with the least credibility with the American people, without a doubt, without a doubt. So let me show you what these guys did. So this is the intelligence report. Let me expand it for you. That the intelligence community released on the Russian meddling in the 2016 election. So it says right there, an intelligent community assessment, intelligent IC A, intelligent community assessment. This is the intelligence community, all 17 of these agencies. So this intelligence community assessment makes you think that this assessment came from all 17 of these agencies. It says, assessing Russian activities and intentions in the recent U.S. election. This is the intelligence report that they released to us. So you come down here to scope, and it tells you right here. Right there is what it says. The assessment focuses on the activities aimed at the 2016 U.S. presidential election and draws on our understanding of previous Russian influence operations when we use the term we, it refers to an assessment by all three agencies. Three agencies? Wait a minute. There's 17 agencies here. You're telling me that this report is a report from the entire intelligence community. What are you talking about here from three agencies? Let's start reading from the top here. This report includes an analytic assessment. Start me highlight this. This report includes an analytic assessment drafted and coordinated among the Central Intelligence Agency, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, so CIA and FBI. Those are the two agencies that have the least credibility with the American people. And then the National Security Agency, the NSA, which draws on intelligence information collected and disseminated by those three agencies. This entire report was only the work of three agencies, the FBI and the CIA, the two agencies in the intelligence community with the least credibility with the American people, and then the NSA. But check this out. And you come down here and read what this says. We also assess that Putin, the Russian government, aspired to help President Trump's election chances when possible by discrediting Secretary Clinton and publicly contrasting her favorability to him. Like that is an election. So it says all three agencies. So three agencies. Agree with this judgment. CIA and FBI have high confidence in this judgment. NSA has moderate confidence. And if you go back and you look in most of the judgments in here, that was the same that in the entire assessment, the only two agencies that gave this report high confidence were the two agencies headed by James Comey and John Brennan. John Brennan is the head of the CIA who is also actively working with the coup in Ukraine. And only these two agencies give this report, the report that says Russia, the only evidence that we have, it comes from the two agencies with the least amount of trust with the American people. They're the only ones who had high confidence in this. But this is the way it was sold to you, Joe Blow American, at home. Take a listen to Hillary Clinton in the debate that year.
This is such an unprecedented situation. We've never had a foreign government trying to interfere in our election. We have 17 intelligence agencies, civilian and military, who have all concluded that these espionage attacks, these cyber attacks, come from the highest levels of the Kremlin, and they are designed to influence our election.
She said 17 agencies. But it wasn't 17 agencies when they were saying this. It wasn't. It was only three agencies. Two agencies that gave it high confidence, the two agencies that have the least credibility with the American people. And they all said 17 agencies. Take a listen.
Okay, since we're not going to agree on the part that isn't completely now nailed down by law enforcement, let's just go to the part that's incontrovertible, which is that the Russians meddled in the election. All 17 of our intelligence agencies say that. You would agree to that, right?
Well,
all 17 of our intelligence agencies say that. All 17 of our intelligence agencies say that.
So we can get into the back and forth and into the minutia of that letter you're talking about, because
agencies have said Russia did.
So do you think the president didn't win the election?
Answer my question first. All 17 of whose side are you on?
I'm on America's side.
Okay, but then all of our intelligence agencies say this. Russia.
So it wasn't all. So Bill Maher's making a clown of himself.
Meddled in our election. Please admit.
So he's making a clown of himself here. He probably heard Hillary Clinton say it. I don't know where the 17 agencies lie started, but it's a bold-faced lie. It's an absolute lie. There's only three agencies responsible for this intelligence report. I want you to listen to James Clapper here. Take a listen to this. Let's start right here. Let's listen to Susan Rice talk about the 17 agencies.
That the Obama White House did not decide earlier to blow the whistle on the Russians before the election.
We did blow the whistle on the Russians on October 7th, and that came as soon as the intelligence community and all of its component parts, 17 agencies, 17 agencies, 17 agencies,
17 agencies,
came to a consensus conclusion.
17 agencies. 17 agencies came to a consensus conclusion. Why did they do this, people? You know why they did this? Because these two agencies, the agencies headed by James Comey and John Brennan, were the two agencies with the least credibility with the American people. So they set 17 agencies to give this report, which has no evidence in it, to give it more credibility. So when Donald Trump says in Helsinki that I don't necessarily believe our intelligence agencies. So you don't believe all of our intelligence agencies, Trump? You don't believe, you know, all 17 of our intelligence agencies? And the director of national intelligence at this time was James Clapper. Yeah, I don't trust James Clapper. I don't trust John Brennan. I don't trust James Comey. And if Trump would have said that in Helsinki, that would have sounded a lot different, saying that, no, I don't trust James Comey. Comey and the FBI, and I don't trust the CIA, and no, I don't trust national intelligence under James Clapper. If he would have said that, that would have been different, because most Americans don't trust the CIA. Most Americans don't trust the FBI. So the reason that they said 17 agencies, and the reason they credited all 17 agencies with this report, was to give it credibility. And there's no evidence in it. And that's the only reason that people said that that the report was credible, is because they accredited all 17 agencies. Do you understand what they did here?
Extraordinary step of making public that the Russian government at the highest levels was involved in an effort to play in our electoral process. That information was put out to the American people in a statement from the Director of National Intelligence and the Secretary of Homeland Security. Very unusual act designed to put on notice the American people, the secretaries of our 50 states, whose responsibility it is to protect the integrity of our electoral infrastructure, and to members of Congress who had been previously briefed as well on the import of this. So we did, in fact, put that information out as early as we had that consensus view, with confidence, high confidence, high confidence, high confidence.
So she's saying that there was a consensus view of high confidence. And she alludes to the fact that this consensus view of high confidence came from all 17 agencies. There's only three agencies that are responsible for the report. And in those three agencies, you don't even have a consensus view of high confidence. The NSA gave it moderate confidence. So she's lying to you, telling you that all 17 agencies are responsible for the report, and all 17 agencies had a consensus view of high confidence, when there's only three agencies, and even amongst those three agencies, you don't have a consensus view of high confidence. This is how Russiagate point one went down, people.
So we did, in fact, put that information out as early as we had that consensus view, with confidence, high confidence, high confidence, high confidence, high confidence,
high confidence.
And that was necessary in the right.
I heard it was 17 agencies.
I said, boy, that's a lot. Do we even have that many intelligence agencies? It turned out to be 3 or 4. It wasn't 17.
The other thing that was fake news coming from President Trump is when he said, well, I keep hearing it's 17 intelligence agencies that say Russia meddled in the election. I think it's only 3 or 4. Where does that number come from?
It comes from this report right here. It comes from this report right here. CIA, FBI, NSA, 3 agencies. That's where it comes from, Jim Acosta.
Where is this 3 or 4 number come from?
As you know, the IC was a coordinated product from 3 agencies, CIA, NSA, and the FBI, not all 17 components of the intelligence community.
Not all 17 components of the intelligence community. So knowing that, then now we're talking about Russiagate 2.0, because they're bringing it back again. They're going to be running Russiagate again on you. And a lot of gullible people are eating it up like candy. But in bringing back Russiagate 2.0, they're also, I was so surprised watching this weasel, Jamie Raskins, on CNN the other night, pitching the 17 agencies lie again. They're what's the word I'm looking for? They're running it back. They're running the whole Russiagate narrative back, and people are falling for it. And God, it is unbelievable. P.T. Barnum was right. There's one born every minute. Listen to this guy.
This revelation is really explosive because it really ties the whole thing together. We know that Putin has been trying to interfere in American elections and successfully interfering in American elections since 2016, when 17 U.S. national security agencies found that he had been engaged in cyber surveillance and cyber espionage.
So this was just the other night, him selling the 17 agencies lie again. And then the morning after that interview, he tells the lie again. Listen to him.
Appointee, and he is the one who asserted that there were multiple continuing and long-term encounters with Russian intelligence operatives. And of course, that's perfectly consistent with everything that we know about the efforts by Vladimir Putin and his Russian intelligence operatives to interfere in American presidential elections. It happened in 2016. We had 17 of our intelligence and national security agencies finding that Vladimir Putin had attempted to engage in destabilization.
So he's lying again. 17 agencies again. He's telling the 17 agencies lie. They're running Russiagate 2.0. And people are falling for it. And it's sad. We're going to get back into Ukraine in the next podcast. And we're going to talk about Crimea and answer the question, did Russia invade Crimea? I'll be back with you guys on Monday. I hope you have a great weekend. And we'll see you on Monday.